Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of In the Round with Andrew Taylor and Lee. We are on a Thanksgiving recap episode. It's Sunday, the Sunday after Thanksgiving, and we had a pretty good holiday. Lee, the host of an international house of pancakes,
come down.
How you doing?
Come down to the pancake house.
How you doing today, Lee?
Actually, pancakes sound good.
Right? Are you okay from last night? We went out and watched the Tyson.
We went to
versus
watch
Roy
old,
Jones
old,
fight.
Old man fights.
It was kind of like having the two uncles at Thanksgiving fighting each other.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it was a takedown from the floor.
Yeah. It wasn't bad. It was all right.
It was entertaining, man. I mean, it was kind of neat. I mean, I think Tyson won myself.
We were over at Clancy's Pub, by the way, over in Scottsdale.
The Clancy's.
What is that, Miller?
Miller and Camelback.
Yep, that's a great bar. Check it out.
Yep,
Zips is good, too. Go check them out, too.
Lots
they're right
of bars
there.
Around
yeah,
there.
Yeah, it's a great place to hang out if you like to drink, like us. anyway.
Too many last night.
Yeah, I don't bounce back like I used to.
A little rough. A little crusty.
But anyways, we did the Tyson fight last night. We had a great Thanksgiving. We cooked a 21-pound turkey.
That's a lot
for
of
For two
fowl.
People. Honestly, and that's everyone has given me shit about it, you know, like, why'd you get such a big turkey? And it's like, that's all they had, man.
Because they don't make a smaller
I don't
one.
Know what else they had. Yeah, so
do you think we should throw the turkey away now?
Yeah, at this point
I
it's
think
definitely
it's kinda, yeah,
like past its prime.
We've used it for all it's worth. Yeah.
It's got it. You got a lot of use out of it.
Yeah, I'm okay for turkey until next year, man.
Yeah. So, all right, let's jump right into the news segment. We always do this. Let's get right into our odd news or, you know, we always have a couple news stories for you that we go through.
A little tidbit of information to pass on to everybody.
Stuff happening worldwide, all around the world. The first headline reads, 12-year-old boy accepted to Georgia Tech seeks NASA career. And this happened on November 24th. A 12-year-old Georgia boy who has been accepted to attend Georgia Tech said he plans to study aerospace engineering for a career in space exploration. Caleb Anderson, 12 years old, who is dual enrolled in high school and Chattahoochee Technical College, is aiming to start classes at Georgia Tech next fall.
Boy, that's a kid with a lot of energy.
This guy is
right
going
there, man.
Places, yeah. Man. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Man,
you got to watch this
12
guy.
12 years old, man.
Yeah, this is awesome. So he is quoted saying, "I think I'm going to go to Mars and do more school, and try to get my master's at Georgia Tech."
Well, there you go.
Yeah. I mean, he wants to go to Mars, dude.
Someone needs to do it, man.
Yeah, and he wants to do an internship with Elon Musk, and then probably get his PhD at MIT.
Wow.
And then,
that's,
you know,
talk about a life plan.
Yeah, he wants to start working at NASA or SpaceX. So,
well, there you go. That's you got to have your goals.
Hey, I like it. I like it.
If he's
thinking big, and that's what you should do.
Yeah, think big. Shoot big.
Get big ideas here, man. That's
this
good.
This guy's got he's got way too much energy.
They said they noticed he was exceptionally intelligent at a very young age. At about 3 weeks old, they noticed that Caleb was trying to mimic some of the words that his parents were saying and stuff. That's 3 weeks.
Yeah, damn.
Yeah,
sounds
so,
like a freak to me.
Yeah,
man.
but by 4 months, he was picking up basic signs, you know. He was asking questions by the time he was able to talk. So that's kind of crazy for being that young.
Yeah. That guy would want nothing to do with me.
He received an offer from comedian Steve Harvey to cover the cost of his tuition at Georgia Tech.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, so he offered some advice for other kids seeking to emulate his successes. And the Caleb is quoted by saying, if you want to succeed, you have to do two things. Number one, you have to learn to fail. And that's a really big part of winning, too. And the second part is you always try. If somebody says you can't do that, it doesn't mean it's impossible.
Absolutely.
That's great. Yeah, no, I like it. That's kind
that's
of a feel-good story. Yeah, you know, for all that bad stuff going on around the world.
Yeah,
that's kind of a cool one.
I can't even remember what I was doing when I was 12.
I definitely wasn't doing
that.
This also happened on November 24th. The headline reads, World's Deepest Swimming Pool Opens in Poland.
How deep is it?
Okay, so November 24th, a newly opened business in Poland is offering training services for scuba divers, and it's 148-foot deep pool.
Damn.
The deepest swimming pool in the world.
damn.
Right?
Can you imagine swimming in that thing, man?
That's kind of, I get kind of sketched out when you go super deep in water, underwater, you know? We used to have that, the rec center where we grew up.
Yeah, that pool was deep.
Yeah, like the deep end was 12 feet, I think, 13
feet. 12, 14
feet. Yeah, it was pretty deep.
You don't see them pools that deep anymore.
Oh, yeah. Well, probably for good reason, you know?
Well, you just, most of them now are about 5 or 6 feet, so they don't have to excavate so much and... It's probably easier to upkeep them and stuff like that, man.
Yeah, so this place is called Deep Spot, which opened its doors during the weekend, boasts a 148 deep pool that holds more than 280,000 cubic feet of water.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, the same amount as 20 size Olympic size swimming pools.
Damn.
The pool features underwater caves, recreations of the Mayan ruins, and a shipwreck reproduction.
Man, that'd be fun to
go. That sounds pretty cool to scuba dive.
Hang out there. Yeah,
yeah. Like to actually, like if you're going to learn how to scuba dive, that sounds like the place to go.
Because if I can't scuba,
what's
this all
point?
About?
Yeah, what's this all been about? So they're going to use it too to train divers for the Polish Army and firefighters.
Oh, absolutely.
And, you know, it also features a hotel with underwater views and a tunnel for spectators to watch the divers, a restaurant, and several meeting rooms.
And
all underwater.
The Polish put some money into this
deal,
man. They're
like going underwater, huh? It's kind of crazy. Some people have a fear of that.
Do you know why there's no ice cubes in Poland?
No idea.
The inventor died, took the recipe.
Okay.
Back in the day when Polish jokes were funny, man.
Yeah.
I remember as a kid, everyone used to always tell Polish jokes. They'd be like, you heard about the Polish guy who shot an arrow in the eye, shot an arrow in the sky? He missed.
This next one. Sorry, I had to take a little drink there.
Drinking on the job.
Yeah, you know. If you can't do your job,
if you can't do your job drunk, you shouldn't have that job.
Next headline reads, this was also on November 24th. This is another feel-good kind of story, and it's pretty crazy. It's kind of a medical miracle. Headline reads, Texas hospital performs complicated 10-person kidney swap.
Jesus.
So a Texas hospital's kidney swap program faced one of its greatest logistical challenges when doctors pulled off a 10-way organ transplant that saved the lives of 5 people.
A 10-way organ transplant.
So doctors at Houston Methodist Hospital said the complicated swap originated when John H.B. Berliski lost both of his kidneys to kidney disease, and his wife, Tara, offered to give him one of hers. The doctors explained to the couple that while they were a match, John had AB type blood, you know, which means he is a universal recipient and could accept a kidney from anyone.
Oh.
So that literally anyone could give him a kidney.
Any human being.
Yeah, you can get a dog one or whatever. I don't know.
He sniffs around a lot now.
Yeah. So the unique situation made the couple ideal participants in the hospital's kidney swap program. Let's see here. There was another lady, Mizael Gonzalez, who was also diagnosed with kidney disease, was offered a kidney by his mother, Teresa. But they decided to join the kidney swap program so he could receive an organ from a younger donor, right? So meanwhile, there was another lady named Deborah Lewing who was diagnosed with IgA neuropathia. I guess that's how you say it.
Yeah, not me, man.
Something like that. Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah, it doesn't sound good.
And was offered a kidney by her boss, Don Thomas.
Oh, that's a good boss. Back at work.
Yeah, right? Yeah, we need you.
Yeah, remember that kidney I gave you and everything?
We really need you. Yeah. But the woman discovered their blood types did not match, right? So the 6 people ended up in the same kidney swap chain along with a pair of cousins and a pair of sisters, and 5 kidneys were taken from donors and placed into recipients. John received a kidney from an AB type donor who can only donate to another AB type patient, while his wife's kidneys went to Justin, whose cousin was not a close enough match. It's a very complex, logical task, but the happiness the patients display and the fact that they can get their transplants really have new hope for resuming their life is very gratifying.
Well, that's good to hear.
Said one of the directors of surgery at Houston Methodist.
Wow.
Pretty crazy stuff.
Yeah. Talk about blood
everything
types.
Aligned up, you know, to make it happen.
Do you know what blood type you are?
I don't. Mm. Yeah. Honestly, I have
no
idea.
The only
reason
I know is I've been in that program for the last year donating blood. So
gotcha.
I have A+.
So you've seen the original Star Wars, right?
The original movie, you know what? Not all the way through.
So, but you've seen it, right?
I know of it. I'm familiar with it. Yeah,
David,
of course.
So, you know who David Prowse is?
I believe he played Darth Vader.
Yeah, in all the movie scenes, he did. I don't think he voiced him, but he did all the actual.
Wasn't the voice James Earl Jones?
David Prowse died today at 85. Oh. He was also in Casino Royale too.
Oh.
Yeah. So, bodybuilder and Star Wars actor David Prowse has died. Prowse disclosed in 2014 that he had been diagnosed with dementia. And today his management company said, it's with great regret and heart-wrenching sadness for us and millions of fans around the world to announce that our client David Prowse has passed away at the age of 85.
Well, he got 85 years. That's a good long
Yeah, he was a British actor who was 6'6" tall.
Jesus.
And famously played the villain Darth Vader in the Star Wars films of the 70s and 80s. But actor James Earl Jones gave the masked character his iconic voice.
Yeah, I thought that's who that was, yeah.
Mark Hamill, who played Luke Skywalker in the blockbusters, took to Twitter to mourn Prowse's death. And Mark Hamill wrote, "So sad to hear David Prowse has passed. He was a kind man and much more than Darth Vader."
What a great gig, man.
Yeah, no, he's immortalized.
He could probably go out and do all kinds of cool stuff and no one would know who he was because no one ever really seen his face.
He earned an MBE honor from Queen Elizabeth II for playing Green Cross Code Man in a campaign promoting road safety in the United Kingdom.
Oh, there you go.
So, hey, that's pretty cool, man.
Force be with you.
He was in Casino Royale, A Clockwork Orange, Horror Frankenstein and the Monster from Hell, and the TV shows The Saint, Space 1999, and Doctor Who.
I wonder if he was in the original Casino Royale. The one,
I think so. That's what I'm imagining.
Because, they did that Casino Royale movie originally, yeah. And I think it was David Niven who played the spy in it, if I'm not mistaken. And then they did Casino Royale, was the first Daniel Craig Bond that they did. A good movie.
Absolutely.
It's a good movie.
Yeah, I'm kind of sad to see him go.
Yeah, he does a good Bond.
I guess he just says it's too physically demanding for him to do it anymore, which kind of sucks. And then the other day, remember I texted you? And this isn't to be offensive to anyone or anything, but you got to understand that 007 James Bond is a franchise kind of thing where it's like the characters itself, like the abrupt changes that they're planning on making that you're hearing about, making 007 a woman.
That's not going to happen, man.
You know, I don't think so either, because
the way it was explained to me or the way I read it.
And no offense to any women listeners. It's nothing like that. You just have to understand. It's 007. We tried this with Ghostbusters. It didn't work.
The books are all written around a male agent. So, I mean, the movies are made from the books.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
From what I understand, the way I understand it is, and there's a conspiracy kind of thing that goes on with this, is people claim that the 007 is an agent, can be any agent. It's not always the same guy.
That's what they.
And
that's
name
what
James
I've heard.
Bond is the same too.
Yeah,
that's a given name.
Mm-hmm.
But if you watch the movies, it doesn't really portray it that way. It's always like, this is James Bond. He was born James Bond.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
So what I believe in 25, which I think the name of the movie is No Time to Die.
I've seen the car.
Yeah.
I've seen the Valhalla.
Oh, yeah.
The Valhalla is badass, dude. It looks like a spaceship.
I think I think James Bond, Daniel Craig's character, is in retirement.
And they're going to come
and
find
they
him.
And they have a 007 that is a woman.
Got ya.
And they bring him out of retirement.
She's going to die. She's going to die.
Have you ever noticed most women that associate with James Bond don't make it through the movie, man? I mean, very few of them.
That is very true.
There's a lot of the heroines in them. They don't make it. And that's part of the gig,
Yep, that's true.
Like, a lot of people don't know. Like, James Bond had, in the one that George Lazenby did, he gets married in it.
Mm-hmm.
He has a wife. And then one of the very first Roger Moore ones, they start off the movie with him. No, she gets killed in Her Majesty's Secret Service. On Her Majesty's Secret Service, she's murdered in it. They had just gotten married, and somebody does a drive-by on him, and she dies.
Makes sense.
And I can't remember.
Like you said, every female associated with the guy.
But they reference it in a couple of the Roger Moore movies. Like, you were married, and he's like,
yeah.
It's just one of those kind of. And I was watching a Dalton one the other day. The Timothy Dalton movies are kind of weak. They're.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to bash on anybody. They reference it in License to Kill also.
Yeah. Well, to get back on track here, we are going to take a musical break, and we will be back here in just under a minute. Stay tuned, folks. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. All right, let's get right into it, man. We have Just the Facts. You know, we always do this every show.
Just the Facts, man.
And today's Just the Facts segment, since it is close to December, we are coming up on December here in the next day or two, right? Something like that. we have a Christmas edition Just the Facts segment.
Holly jolly Christmas.
I have a few here. I thought these were pretty interesting. Some of them are kind of funny. The first one that we're going to have is... To visit every child on Christmas Eve, Santa would have to travel at 3,000 times the speed of sound, visiting over 800 homes per second. That's 650 miles a second.
Now, that's moving right along, man.
Yeah, so worldwide, globally, that's the numbers that they've worked.
Yeah, you can't really buy into the facts about how this doesn't work, man. Yeah. Just believe.
You know.
They explain that kid from NASA...
Probably knew that when he was a little wee lad.
This is virtually impossible. Yeah. He would have to travel 650 miles a minute, a second, or whatever. Yeah.
Let me see.
I like the way they did it in Christmas Chronicles, the way they bounced around. That was cool.
Yeah, so the next one, 2 weeks before Christmas is the most popular time for couples to break up, with Christmas Day the last popular day.
The least popular day?
It reads the last popular day.
The last popular day? Yeah. So a lot of people break up on Christmas?
Yes.
I can understand it being...
I could see the stressfulness of situations and stuff and certain things going on.
Because like I think of people do reflecting and
stuff
like that.
Especially now, dude.
I was reading a thing where they said
it's going to get
the divorce rates are astronomical.
It's crazy.
Right now. And I was reading an article by an attorney saying that they're usually pretty slow around Thanksgiving. They
it's
said
bad.
With this whole pandemic thing, they said
you're stuck at home. You didn't realize you don't really like each other as much as you
know
do.
What? I think they probably get on each other's nerves or whatever.
Yeah,
and eventually
absolutely.
You start thinking like Jesus Christ.
And depending on where you live, most people can't even get out of the house.
That's what I'm saying. If
that's what sucks.
If you're stuck somewhere where
you
it's
can't
like,
get away.
Yeah, you know. I'm going to go sit out in the car.
I get it. I understand it on both ends, on both fronts. I get it.
Oh, yeah. I can see where it could get troublesome, man.
Yeah, so our next one here, and I totally believe this because if you own a pet, you'll understand this. Over half of American pet owners will buy gifts for their furry friends this Christmas. Most will spend an average of $46 on a gift for their pets. Now, me personally, I don't do that. I buy dollar store pet toys for the cats.
There's people get the love affair people have with their pets is
it gets crazy.
Unhealthy
it gets crazy sometimes.
Some aspects, yeah. Man. It's kind of like, man,
they're a pet still, but
well, I mean, I like animals as much as the next person, you know. But it's kind of one of those things where these people are like,
well, they treat them like a kid, you know. It gets kind of weird.
Yeah,
you know?
But you know what? Those are the people that got divorced over Christmas, man.
Or whatever. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's true.
You know, but I like I said, I like animals as much as the next. So, I mean, I'm not going to knock anybody for that. I mean, it's okay. So some people kind of take it overboard.
Too far. But, hey, more power to you. Do what you do.
Well, it makes you feel good, man.
Yeah. The next one, this is our last one, and we'll move right into the topic of the day. Santa Claus has worn many colors in his time, including blue, green, white, and red, obviously. The red suit came about when Coca-Cola had an advertisement campaign in the 30s. And it was sealed forevermore from that point on that he would be in a red and white suit.
I never.
That's the commercialized version of Santa that we all know.
Yeah, that's
to this day.
Yeah, okay.
Kind of crazy, huh?
Well, yeah, it's weird that a company like Coca-Cola still does a lot of Christmas
advertising. Oh, a ton of it. Yeah, the polar bears and stuff.
Yeah,
and
so I never knew that they were the ones that solidified his red attire.
The actual look, yeah,
actual
look of him.
Yeah. Because, I mean, you see pictures of Santa Claus from the old days, and I can't remember him not being in a red suit. So.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So right now, let's get right into today's topic. This is an interesting thing. We're coming up to the close of the year, you know. We're coming up to 2021. COVID's not really – the situation's not really getting any better at this point.
It doesn't seem to be.
You know, from what we're seeing on the news and stuff, what they're telling us, obviously. You can believe what you want to believe, but you got to just run with what we're being told.
From
right
the
now.
Information
you know
you're
what I'm saying?
From the media,
So,
I mean, and the cases that are spiking.
Yeah, absolutely. But so today's show is going to be about the future of live entertainment, live music, any performances like that, anything like that.
Like what we watched last night on the pay-per-view for Mike Tyson.
There should have been people at that. Not necessarily saying right now. I'm not saying, you know, I'm not a doctor or anything like that. So.
No, no, it's weird. I mean, it really is a
football
bizarre
Sundays.
Thing, yeah.
You're watching places that don't have people, the brand new stadiums that haven't had any fans sit in the seats. Yeah, yeah, so it's kind of weird.
I don't know how long they can sustain that, man.
Exactly, and they have to make money. You know, that's everything's driven by it.
Yeah, it was put into production. You know, and it was put into
fruition to do this. Yeah,
yeah, it's to make a profit, make some money.
So today, I just. It's really weird to see because people have already done. There's been some concerts that have been at drive-ins of actual live bands performing at the drive-in on a stage with cars parked out there, or a movie playing, or, you know, it's really weird. And to coincide with today's topic, we have a little bit of extra news that I want to throw in here to show you, I think, of where the future of some of this is going with the COVID cases and all that. So, you know. This band, it doesn't surprise me that they're doing this, and it makes total sense. And I, like I said, this is coincides directly with what we're talking about. It's been 300 days since the Kiss stage went dark, since their last show.
Almost a year.
Yeah, so 300 days. You know, roaring back to life and proving that Kiss never does anything small, the iconic Rock and Roll Hall of Fame multi-platinum selling band has announced the biggest concert event of the year, sending off 2020 in Kiss style on New Year's Eve at an iconic destination, Atlantis, The Palm in Dubai. You know, in a year when stages have been dark globally and fans have been craving a true live music experience, Landmarks Live presents, it's set to deliver the largest Kiss show of the band's storied career live from the Royal Beach at Atlantis, Dubai, with numerous world record attempts for the largest ever pyro display.
Wow.
So
They're just going to blow it up.
This is the largest streaming event of the year. It happens on New Year's Eve, December 31st, 2020, and the event is called Kiss 2020 Goodbye.
Yeah, hopefully, maybe that'll inspire some other people to do
it.
There's people out there doing this,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. You know. It is filmed with more than 50 cameras with 360-degree views. The show will be produced by Landmarks Live Presents, and it will be filmed in 4K and can be seen globally with a 1080-pixel live stream and ticketing powered by Tixer and available on any computer, mobile, and Apple TV.
So can we watch it on our TV?
Mm-hmm. You can get it on anything, basically.
So how do you go about, what do you...
And this is putting, this is the gravity of this event that they're doing. And it's a really cool thing for the behind the scenes aspect of it, because they are putting nearly 400 crew members back to work for the first time in 8 months. The production will take an extraordinary on-site COVID protocols, including daily testing and biometric crew wristbands, to ensure the highest safety standards for the entire event. Performed in front of a live COVID screen and safe audience in Dubai. So they're actually going to
have people they're in the crowd.
It's going to be a hybrid thing, like I talked about last night with the Tyson thing. You're going to start seeing
events like
that.
Explain what you're talking about on the hybrid thing.
So you're going to have it set out to be where people... They're going to have the option to go to the event live in person, like a normal concert, and you'll buy a ticket and be there. Or you're going to have the option to buy an actual virtual ticket and watch it at home from your house.
Yeah.
And they'll have cameras. And I can see this happening.
I see it. Maybe if they don't get the vaccine.
Yeah.
And, if that doesn't work out.
If they can't get stuff under wraps.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because I think even when they start distributing the vaccine, it's still going to take a while for people to get it, make sure it works. And
so
people are still going to be leery, I think.
The band has come out and said, after 9 months of this pandemic darkness, the world may finally be seeing light, be seeing the light of day. On New Year's Eve, Kiss will rock the heavens, shake the earth, and blaze the way out of 2020 with the largest, most bombastic celebration in ours and anyone else's histories.
Well, there you go.
We all need it. We all deserve it. Here's to 2021.
Yeah, and just pay us to get it.
Yep. That's what I said. These guys never.
Well, you can't really blame these entertainers as much as we like to talk trash about them.
I don't
stuff
trash
like
any of them like that, man.
Well, I mean, as much as people do
they gotta
like
make
it,
a living, too.
Yeah, not all of them are... wealthy enough to where they can't work.
Well,
you know?
I hate when people, especially in this Kiss situation, if you see comments on it online, obviously there's going to be people that just are going to hate on it because they like to hate on anything they do.
Well, everyone's going to complain about something.
Well,
yeah.
But the fact is when I see these comments where people are like, why don't you guys just do it for free for your fans and stuff? And it's like, I get what you're saying, but I also, do you go into work and do your job for free for people? I wouldn't.
There's people that need to be paid and all that stuff, man.
It's not like a free thing, man.
And you know what? It shouldn't be. You know, absolutely. Now, if a band wanted to come out and say, hey, we're going to do this, and we're going to give the money to charity, or we're not going to charge anybody.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, if they were doing it at their house or something, but this sounds like it's a pretty big production.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so it's gonna require people to get paid for it, and you know, why would you not charge for it?
Exactly.
You know, I mean, but I think I'm curious to see if this is going to be anything that's
a trendsetter.
Yeah, like I said, they're already kind of doing this now.
Not on this scale, though.
Maybe
that's
not
the
on
thing.
This scale, but. Coming back to what you said earlier, there's these venues, you know, like football stadiums, and there's one in Vegas and one in Los Angeles that, you know, they spent hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars building these things, and they haven't even been utilized.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, I mean, they're having games in them, but, I mean, there's no people in them. And
absolutely.
So it's
sad.
Know, well, I just kind of wonder, you know, are they going to be able to get this back in line to where when are we going to be able to go back to what they call somewhat normal, you know?
I don't think there ever is going to be another normal.
Yeah, I think eventually they will.
I think you're going to have stuff that's going to be like a post-9/11 kind of deal, man.
Yeah, which it went into a new part of
it
normal.
It did.
Yeah.
You got used to, like, the screening at the airport and everything.
Yeah,
you
know, the first couple years you were like, this is kind of a hassle.
And you know what? Maybe we do need to have stuff in place to not have this happen as easy again,
I mean,
you know? I'm not denying that for sure.
That's one of the things that one of the benefits you get out of a big disaster, like when you have a plane crash or something.
You always go back to the drawing board.
Is the knowledge that they get from them. I mean, they're terrible. I mean, don't get me wrong. And this disease has been horrible.
That's a travesty. Yeah.
You know, it's been horrible. It's been horrible on all kinds of bases, man.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, from the people dying to the financial stress that's put everybody under, to the people losing their businesses and you know, not able to work, and all the side effects of being contained at home. I mean, there's suicide, drugs, and things are just going rampant because of this. But hopefully they'll get it under control.
Now, what would you like to see happen with concerts and performances? That includes theater
and
everything.
You know what? I love to go to the theater. I'm not a big movie guy, but I think there's a way that they, you know, they're going to have, like you said, until they can get a handle on this, you know, you're going to have some social distancing, and you're going to have to make sure everybody's clean as far as the movie theaters go. As far as live events go, like live venue, I think you ought to move everything outside.
Yeah.
You know, and I like what we've seen. I think they're doing it overseas in England, where they set up a little stations all through the, you know, outside venues that are four or five seats.
Well, they're even talking about, like, this thing with the live crowd being there. They're going to have people getting COVID tested going into the venue and stuff.
Yeah, and that's a good idea. But the problem that they have with that is that you may not be positive right now, but you're still carrying the virus.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and I think that's where they're at. Like that bar we were in last night.
It's kind of a gray area.
You know, I mean, there was a lot of people at that place last night, you know, so it's kind of like, okay. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean,
As an example, I did some research about the previous year, 2019, right? The touring figures for all kinds of artists and stuff. I went through Billboard into the 2019 top 40 tours list, right? I didn't take all 40, obviously. We don't have enough time for that.
It's a big money industry right there.
Oh, yeah. And check this out. Well, I got some facts on all of that, and we might as well jump into them.
Just the facts, man.
Well, not that, but... So the top 10 tours of 2019, these are the figures and how many shows they played, what the money was, revenue was earned and stuff and all that. Number one was Ed Sheeran at $223 million with 2.5 million attendees with 54 shows in total.
Man.
So, you know, he's a newer guy.
And what's he doing? Is he a country singer or something?
I think he's like pop or something.
Oh, okay,
like
I don't know who he is. So
I'm not 100% sure.
That's how hip I am, man.
Yeah, same here, though.
How the Rolling Stones do?
They're on this list. They're coming up. Number two is Pink at $216 million with 1.8 million people attending the tour.
The singer Pink, the lady?
Yeah, with 68 shows.
Wow.
So,
well, she's very popular.
BTS was third on the list, who's a K-pop, like Korean pop group.
Well, I never heard of them
either. They're huge right now for they have been since like the past couple years or whatever.
Huh.
196 million with 1.6 million people attended and 42 shows. Elton John was number 4 on the list.
Now that's a guy I heard of.
And he made $193 million in revenue with 1.4 million people in attendance, and that was 105 shows total.
That's a lot more shows than the other.
Yeah, that's
put
the
on,
thing. Yeah, he had to do double the shows, basically. You know, almost.
That's weird.
Number five on the list. You'll get a kick out of this one, especially for the total amount of shows. The Rolling Stones, at 178 million, played to over 800,000 people. Guess how many shows they did?
30.
16.
16, okay. Well,
which makes sense. That's good.
Well, but then again, the Rolling Stones were playing
stadiums.
Like football stadiums. You saw them. Yeah, I saw them. Yeah. I saw them. It was a good show.
A lot of people there?
It was sold out, man. Yeah, I mean, basically.
Crazy. And number six after the Rolling Stones is Metallica. With 178 million, but they played to 1.7 million people, and they had to do 46 shows.
Yeah, and I like the way Metallica tours. They go on the road for a couple weeks, and they seem to like stay in a city for a week or so.
Mm-hmm.
Like they make home base out of it. And I think they hit markets that are around it.
Yeah, and then number seven is Ariana Grande, the pop singer.
Uh-huh. I've heard
she
of
her. Made 119 million with 1.1 million people in attendance, 77 shows. So that's a lot of legwork, man.
Oh yeah, that's a lot of traveling.
And then Paul McCartney was number eight with 114 million, 850,000 people in attendance, 32 shows.
It's weird how those older guys do a lot less work or a lot less shows.
Yeah, because they get more, you know.
Yeah, they pull
Backstreet
more people,
Boys
yeah.
came in at nine, which is kind of surprising. Number nine with 93 million. With 100,000 people, and they did 95 shows.
Wow.
So that's kind of crazy.
I thought the Backstreet Boys were like had a Vegas residency. That might be
number
it.
10 on the list, Kiss, at 89 million, at 855,000 people with 72 shows.
There you go.
They had to do a lot of shows, man.
Well, you know, Kiss is out.
They go
tour
out,
a lot.
They tour,
man, so, yeah.
That's the thing is when they do a tour, they tour.
Yeah, they tour a lot. So
they do it worldwide too.
They can
thing.
Come through a couple more. Now, with this being their end of the road thing, who knows when their last show is going to be? I mean,
well, now with everything got pushed even further out, you know, I'm sure they want to get it done. You know,
I think they're okay. I mean, they've been sitting idle for 9 months.
I got some honorable mentions from that list too that were a little further down the list, but they're definitely worth mentioning. Billy Joel, 77 million in revenue, 600,000 people with 22 shows.
Yeah, he does a residency at like Shea
or Madison Square Garden.
I think it's Madison Square Garden.
He's played
the
most shows at Madison Square Garden than anybody.
He does it like every month or something. It's some crazy deal.
We have the Eagles at 74 million with 410,000 in attendance total with 29 shows.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And then the last one I have for the honorable mentions is Bob Seger at 65 million with 568,000 people in 46 shows.
Yeah, I think he's all done now too, man. So
that's what he claims, you know. But
you'll probably see these guys. So some of these guys that are retiring, they'll probably do like festivals and one-off gigs and stuff like that.
Now you really want to have some numbers that puts things in perspective as far as promoters go. The top two promoters for the industry and all together, Live Nation is number one with $3.3 billion in revenue total for the year of 2019, and with 39 million people in attendance at their events.
They own everything, man.
And they put on 5,680 shows that year. And then AEG came in second place with $2.3 billion at 27 million in attendance, and they put on 13,845 shows.
Yeah, that's...
So they got to merge eventually, man.
I don't think they can.
Really?
No, because I was reading that thing on what's
some
his
kind
name?
Of monopoly thing.
Irving Azoff, the manager guy from the Eagles. He manages a bunch of people. Actually, he was Van Halen's manager. He's been under investigation. He's part of AEG.
Yeah.
And you know the AEG also owns Ticketmaster. So they own the venues, they own the ticket sources, and then...
It's a monopoly, yeah.
Arzoff's owns 13 different management companies that pretty much manage every celebrity out there, you know, in that business. Any live entertainers, they're all... Ariana Grande is signed with them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're
it
already...
It is kind of shady.
Well, he's already been accused, and they've been to court with the antitrust laws, the monopolized laws, you know, where they're saying you have a monopoly on this.
Yeah.
You know, so you've got to think about it. If you don't want to be involved in that management company or whatever, you probably can't be in show business anymore.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
You know?
That's true. Nobody will work with you. Physically
when you
can't.
You have that big of a spoon in the pot. Man.
You know, one thing I wanted to throw into all this virtual stuff that's probably going on is I bet there's, you know, like that website Cameo, people do shout outs and stuff. Yeah. I think you're going to see a lot more virtual meet and greets for stuff because they need to make money
you
right
might,
now,
yeah.
you know? Like they're like, hey, I'm sitting idle at home. I can do shout outs and birthday messages and stuff that. As corny as it sounds, it's actually really cool,
well,
I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's neat to see those guys doing that. You know what I noticed, like, just take for the movie industry in general, is a lot of these new movies are coming out and they won't release them. They release them on in theaters only. Yeah. Have you noticed that? There's been a couple. Mm-hmm. I think the last,
Wonder
was
Woman
Kit,
and all
Russell
that stuff
movie
is coming out. Yeah,
that came out.
Yeah.
And it was like, it's only available in theaters. I don't think that going to home, straight to home,
it's not working
viewing,
out as well.
I don't think it's working out for them
because people don't want to spend the money on something that
exactly
might be bad.
Right.
Yeah.
And, but you do it anyways when you go to the movies. You take a chance.
But at least
you know?
It's a whole experience and you get to go out and stuff. You
and
know?
You know, I noticed that here in town, the Harkins theaters are open again. You know, so
which that's another. You bring up a good point related to this that I wanted to touch on before we wrap up for the day. I really wanted to focus on, you know, the arenas and stuff like that that are funded through things, you know, have sponsorships and stuff. They're probably going to be all right and be around for the future entertainment purposes, right?
Well, they'll get in some fashion. In they're going to get,
yes, yeah, so, you know, they're not going to go and
the
close
the worst
them,
that can happen is
know,
the company files bankruptcy and somebody buys it.
Buy and renames it.
And and redoes
so,
it, yeah.
So, but the ones I'm more concerned about are the local clubs and the
smaller venues
you know, because I played in a punk band for 7 years or whatever, you know, however long, and they... That's very important to music, man, and to getting new music out there and everything. It's all one and the same. So I feel for the local club owners and small bar venues
tough,
and stuff
man.
Like that.
It's tough. I mean,
it's
I've
very
noticed
sad.
A lot of them have brought stuff back. I mean, you got like Rock Bar downtown is doing music now.
Yeah, yeah. And I was just going to say that if you have the opportunity to go out and support any of those places, you should definitely support them.
Yeah, if you feel safe and you're,
exactly.
and you're comfortable going
obviously,
out to a venue, yeah.
Obviously follow the guidelines and stuff and do
absolutely.
What you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Take the precautions, wash your hands and all that, blah, blah, blah. But I definitely think it's important to mention that and to support those businesses.
Oh, you got it.
They're small business owners just like anyone else.
Small business owners in general this holiday season, you should be throwing some of your, if you're going to spend some money, it would be nice that if you spent some of it in these places because, like you said, they don't have the reserves as these big corporations do.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
they take a bigger hit, bigger loss than anything. You know?
Yeah, and it's been really tough for these guys, man. And I'm looking forward to... Like the Marquee and Tempe.
Yeah, I want to see more bands.
I'd like to see they're doing some. They're kind of revving up their engines a little bit, and I'd like to see that get rolling again.
Yeah,
you know, I've never been.
I heard they were going to do some outside event too, or something in the parking lot there, and just you know,
people are trying to adjust. And now, fortunately for where we live here,
we're fortunate. Yeah,
is we have the weather year. You know, in this time of the year, where you can do that kind of stuff. Where if you're in Wisconsin or something, forget it.
You're SOL.
Know?
Yeah. Yeah.
In so, general. I mean, it's one of those kind of things where it's like, until we can completely eradicate this or at least get it to where it's livable, you know, I mean, we're going to have to figure out other ways to do stuff, man.
Oh,
I mean,
absolutely.
It's just the way it is. I mean,
yeah.
You know, I mean, it's unfortunate, but that's the reality of the situation we're in.
Now, where can people find you, man, on social media?
I'm on Facebook, and that's the only platform I have as of right now. I'm not on the Twitter or the Instagram, so it's just my name, Lee Tonin, at Facebook there.
And then you can find the main show page on Buzzsprout, and you can also find – we are on every podcast directory. Wherever you get podcasts, you can more than likely find us on there. We're on just about everywhere. Also, look up our Facebook page, at In The Round AZ, and then look me up on Instagram, at Andrew Taylor Radio. Check us out, man. Send us some questions, whatever, feedback, anything. We are all open ears
and
here.
You can even tell them about all our shows are now – on YouTube.
Yep, and we're uploading almost the entire archive to YouTube. It's kind of a lengthy process, but we're getting it done. The more modern episodes, recent ones, get uploaded within the few days after doing them. But check us out, man. All episodes in the past archives are available 24/7 on Buzzsprout. Check out the link in my Instagram bio or on Facebook on our page. We're constantly posting stuff. Get a hold of us, man. We are actively seeking sponsorships, all kinds
absolutely.
Of stuff, all the time, man.
Clubs,
you got a small
venues,
business, you want
bars.
To come out and interview? Go for it, man. We're always down.
We'll pitch anything, man.
So we really want to support the small businesses, especially here local to us, Scottsdale, Phoenix, Arizona in general, any of that stuff. Vegas, too, you know. just
kidding, Mesa.
We love you, Mesa.
We love Mesa. What a place.
Yeah. So, but, man, definitely check us out. Check out the YouTube channel. We really appreciate you tuning in today. We hope
you
had a great Thanksgiving. And usually we end with quotes, but I forgot this one today, too. So I'm not even going to lie. I'm not even going to try to make
Here's
one
Here's a tip up. For you. Don't take no wooden nickels.
Yeah. So, all right, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. Have a great night, and we'll see you next time. Good night.
Joseph.